the 29th episode of OMG Craft. I thought I had a fun factoid about 29, but now in the heat of the moment, I think I'm forgetting it. But 29, in one more year, we'll be at 30, and then practically, I don't know, I'm not going to make any old people jokes because I'm getting old myself. Welcome to OMG Craft. My name is Chad Johnson. I am your host in this lovely, lovely episode. If you were hoping to make something out of Kleenex boxes and popsicle sticks, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Just have to pause you there. This is a Minecraft show. It's about Minecraft. We're going to cover a whole bunch of stuff in this episode. We have a pre-release available. We're actually going to cover that next week in a huge, huge, spectacular sort of special update for you guys. Look forward to that. We also have some news about the pre-releases. A rumor mill. We have some nice maps to show off. And then the big, big thing for this episode is grinders. More on that in a bit, but of course, before we get into that, we have to start off with the news. So this week we got a few snapshots and then a pre-release. Bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. First, the 13W10A snapshot had a whole bunch of bug fixes, and also slimes were a little bit rarer. They mentioned in the blog, Mojang mentioned in the blog post that they were getting really, really, really close to a pre-release build and that they hope to release it soon, and they ended up doing that. Then in the 13W10B, we got a few, we got a whole bunch more bug fixes, of course. Some things that are more notable bug fixes are that dispensers and droppers now will only update when a redstone signal is turned on. It used to be that any time that the redstone signal updated, either when it was turned off or on, you would have the dispenser or dropper dispense or drop. And so now, instead, it's only when it turns on, and you have to turn it off and then turn it right back on again for it to re-dispense or re-drop. Also, there were some frame rate issues going on, and Jeb pointed out that one of the bug fixes that was supposed to help the transparency in clouds was actually causing a lot more problems than it was fixing. So he says he ran a bisect of the comments between the snapshots, and he found out that it was due to this cloud issue. Kind of cool that the bug tracker, able to do that sort of detective work. This was the bug, was that once you were above clouds, you could see through them, but when you were below them, they became untransparent. So that's that bug. So anyway, kind of cool that he can do sort of a, you know, check comments and actually find out, you know, those sorts of things. And then we got our 1.5 pre-release a few days later, and this will hopefully be very, very, very similar to the release that is given to us, which should come out, let me think, should be Wednesday, March 13th, should be the day that the actual release gets pushed to all of your launchers. We are going to cover this in much, much, much more detail next week, the week of the release. Our episode should come out really quickly around Thursday night, and the actual release will come out Wednesday. So look forward to that. We also have a little bit of rumor from Jeb. And there was a question about on Twitter in the response to the bug fix. Someone asked, do you think that we would be seeing a render rewrite with 1.6? And he said, I'm not completely sure, but 1.6 will require a new launcher and get the LWJGL update. Which is exciting specifically for me. One, because I just hate the old launcher. If you're unsure what the launcher is, it's the place where you type in your username and password. Just take a brief look at that thing. There's an old Minecraft logo. It's super simple. You really can't do anything with it. I'm really excited that they're going to update that. Also, the LWJGL update will hopefully fix a whole bunch of issues. Specifically, just for me, there's an issue with on the Mac client where whenever you start the game, if you start to move, your keys will work, and then they'll become unresponsive, and you have to flip into a different application, flip back for your keys to become responsive. In the bug tracker, you know, comments, they were mentioning that hopefully with this update, the LWJGL will fix that. So anyway, that should. You know, of course, we're going to have to wait a few months for 1.6 to roll around. We just got 1.5. But, of course, rumors about future fixes are always really awesome to have. And finally, in news, we like to cover every once in a while some of the really big map makers whenever they come out with a new map. And Vex has released his latest Super Hostile 12. This is Inferno Mines version 3. And I actually haven't played this, but what's cool is it requires the 1.5 pre-release to run. So it's pretty obvious that he didn't release it until the 1.5 pre-release was available. And I actually have it here, so I was just going to run through some of the, you know, just a few of the basics. Vex is a very famous map maker. There's a few right here. There's a few books here. These describe... Oh, and you know what? The issue that I was just talking about that I'm... Oh, okay, no, and that was just lag. Anyway, I thought that the issue that I just talked about was actually happening. But let me, for some reason, there we go. I was trying to get rid of that pointer. So some of these notes are, they just talk about system requirements and some of the map things. But we start off with, you can see on the side, see that derp OMG Chad 5? Well, that's actually a death counter. Which is a new thing to this this release, this 1.5 release. So if I go ahead and jump in this lava right here, you'll see it's at 5. Now it has moved up to 6. Anyway, this map is just really, really cool. You can see it kind of loading in here. I racked up all of those deaths by jumping off the side here to try to... Whoa, that freaked me out. So hardcore. Wow, that scared me, looking at that thing. The way that I got all these deaths was jumping off the side to see if there was anything that maybe I could jump onto that was in this little area. That's how I racked up those 6 deaths. But it has this cool little starting area, and so, like, if you have friends, each of you should probably start in a different scenario, and each of them have a different loot at the end of this start scenario. Whoop. And I should probably have slept in the bed, but it's cool because I'm not going to actually play through this very much. He's in right this way. You silly pig, man. Oh, it looks like we got a sort of flame enchanted. Oh, no. Flint and steel with unbreaking enchantment and knockback. Awesome. I like that. Anyway, Vex makes amazing maps, and so I suggest that you go download it and check it out. I think I can make this. Let's see if I can do some hardcore parkour. Woo! And I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to assume that, yeah, this is the way I'm going to go. At the end of each of these 3 different areas, they give you a different type of loot. One gives you wood. One gives you food in the form of mushrooms. The other one gives you tools. Get out of here. I'm just gonna ignore you. Okay, we could be friends, right? And as you can see, he builds just these amazingly spectacular maps. And I mean, this is all surprising to me. I haven't played through this map yet, but I will be playing through it eventually when I finish playing SimCity, right? LOL. And with that, let's end that little walkthrough. Vex, Super Hostile 12, Inferno Mines. I don't know why I you know, 3 times 4, 12. You know, right. It makes perfect sense. So, now, let's get into spoiler zone, Cheeto was saying, you know, I was only a few minutes into the game. I don't think anyone's going to be upset that that I showed off that little amount of the game. Now, into the crazy large tutorial for this episode, we are going to be talking about grinding. Now, what is grinding? Grinding is a way, especially in other games, you may hear people say, "Well, yeah, I had to grind through a few dungeons. I'm needing to grind." Blah 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 blah. What that is people going after something over and over and over again to increase your level or to get items to do that sort of thing. And we're going to talk about that in Minecraft. And there's a few automated ways to pull this off, which is much, much, much simpler than trying to actually go through a cavern or try to go and hang out in a desert area and do all of this for real. So I'm going to kind of give you guys the lowdown on how to make this much, much easier and to create sort of an automated system. So we have this world, of course. Thank you so much to T2 and Cheeto for helping me build it. They are supremely, patient with me. First, let me show off just kind of what a basic grinder is. This little area right here that's inside of this wood was actually pulled from the mc.twit.tv server. And I wanted to show you this specifically because this is not something I pre-built in the game like some of the other things I'm going to be showing you. This is sort of a natural occurrence, and this is actually Asimov in the server, who made this by hand using materials that he had to find in the server. So what this is he found in an abandoned mine shaft two spider spawners. So here's a spider spawner in there, and then over on this side, there's a spider spawner over here. These were naturally occurring sort of formations in the game. These are cave spider spawners that will spawn in abandoned mine shafts. So what he's done is he's sort of created this little contraption over it to not only regulate when the spiders spawn, but then to also push them using water flow up into an area that he as a reservoir that he can do something with these spiders later. What are we going to do with them? Well, we're actually going to hurt them so that we can kill them and get the items and the experience from them that we want. Now, let me show off some of these features while we're waiting for these spiders to come in here and for us to kill them later. One of the features is that you can turn on and off these redstone lamps at the top to stop spider spawning. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later on how technically the spiders will and will not spawn, when they will spawn and when they will not spawn. And then he's created these areas, and using water flow, this pushes the spiders into this area. And then, using this lever, when you throw it, it will actually crush the spiders right here, hurting them for just the right amount of time. Why is there... that shouldn't be there. Why are you there, Mr. Cobblestone? What is wrong with you, Mr. Cobblestone? Anyway, don't worry about it because I'm going to explain all of this in greater detail. This was just one of the examples. You can see that timer is here so that it will only release this into... Oh, that's why, because I hadn't flipped up the switch. Duh. So one of the cool things, if you just quickly look at this redstone, what it does is when you flip it down, it shuts off the bottom so that spiders can't get up here and then that they are trapped. And then it will close off the top so that they get crushed up here using sort of a latch right here that is timed. And then it goes through all of these repeaters, which are set to maximum delay. This will then reset that latch once it gets halfway done. And then it will let the piston back in. So let's do this one more time, and you'll see all these spiders get hurt. There we go. Now, it didn't kill them, and that's a nice feature of this grinder, because as long as they are here and hurt a whole bunch, I can just punch them with my hand and not destroy a sword, not use up any sort of durability on any item, because I can just hit them with my hand. So this is a naturally sort of occurring situation that he has built a grinder around. Now, grinders are used primarily for items and experience, but actually that's what they're only used for. But I wanted to show you two examples that maybe you wouldn't have thought of just right off the beginning, and then we'll get into the technical details of what these grinders are. So first, this is an iron golem grinder. How this works is it uses two sort of areas to, and this is once again made by people on the MC.TV server. This uses a whole bunch of reservoirs to first spawn the iron golems. Iron golems need to have first villagers, which are held in those four pods off to the side there, and then lots and lots of doors with a solid block above them. If there's a door and a solid block above it, the game thinks that that is a building. And with all of the villagers, it will spawn an iron golem to protect the villagers. Now, in the top of them, inside of that larger reservoir, there is water, which will, using the water flow, push them down into the middle. And then, as you can see, push them along. You can sort of see how the flow sort of points in one direction. Once they get to this point, using this lava, it will actually hurt them quite a bit as they flow through this water slowly. And by the point that they fall down here, they're actually damaged quite a lot. Then I can stand on this pressure plate, and you can see that bit of wool back there. That's actually going to push out and suffocate the iron golems, which I'll do right now. You can see it's very, very loud. But with that quick sort of grinding, I was able to get almost 3 stacks of iron ingots, which is a ton of iron to get that quickly. And you can see how fast you can start to mine iron using this sort of method and why grinding is so useful. So that is iron grinding with iron golems. Next... here is sort of a rare item drop grinding. This is for music discs, and this was actually created by Silly Chicken on the server. I'm not sure who the original design is. It may, in fact, be Silly Chicken. It may not. But how this works is you will... I like to use this in a desert because there's no trees in the way and you can easily see mobs. But at night, naturally spawning things like creepers... Well, LOL. Here, let's spawn a skeleton first. So naturally spawning things like skeletons and creepers. So he's going to shoot at me. And hopefully he'll also jump under... There we go. So now he's been trapped under this overhang by these pistons. How this works is there is... a pressure plate with a piece of redstone and some pistons. And so when you step on the pressure plate, you actually get trapped by the pistons. There's no way to get out. I'm going to use a tool to jump out of here. But that's how that works. So now the skeleton is trapped inside of the left side or the right side, depending on which way you're facing, of this contraption. Then the next thing that you'd want to get is a creeper. Here comes a creeper. We're going to try to get him to... So close. Yes, so now the creeper is caught. And if you didn't know, the way to get music discs is to have a skeleton shoot... That's fun. I love it when things glitch. If you didn't know, how to get music discs is to have a skeleton shoot a creeper. He's too fast for me. Is to shoot a creeper and kill the creeper. Come on. Come on, creeper. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Can't you see me behind these blocks? So close. Oh, come on. Okay, we're just going to cheat a little bit. There you go. LOL. Oh, don't blow up. Oh, come on. Quit being a jerk. There we go. So, now the skeleton, if I stand on this block, I'm within his line of sight, and I'm close enough to him that he's trying to shoot me. What he's actually doing is shooting the creeper, and then the creeper dies, and there you can see that we got a music disc out of it. Which music disc did we get? We got Strad. Awesome. You can see, hey, maybe we can get another one. Yeah, that's right, you jerk. That's what you get for trying to jump out of my trap. And I think two more, and he's dead. Yeah, that's right. So we've already gotten. Oh, LOL. Here are the music discs I've gathered from this so far. I've gotten Strad, Stall, 13, which is the scary one, Maul, and Wait. So anyway, a really, really useful way to grind rare items in game, which is really, really useful. So now let's get into some of the basics and technical things that you need to do when building a grinder yourself. So this is sort of a basic drop grinder. What happens is at the top there's a source area for your mobs. And we're going to get into sources a little bit later. Then from the source, they'd be pushed or pulled or some way they would be brought into an area that needs to damage them. And there's a few different ways to damage these mobs. You could see earlier we used lava, but you could use falling. You can use suffocation or crushing, or you could just use a plain old sword to kill these guys. Now, this grinder has an interesting feature in that it has a few different modes. So we're going to simulate that these guys spawned, and they fell all the way down around 20 blocks, and now they're within half a heart. So I can just go ahead and punch them, and they'll be able to die really easy. This grinder has two modes. And then whenever there's an item that I can't get, I can hit this button, which is a item assist, which pushes it closer so that I can grab it. Now, if I switch the mode, by dropping it one block more, when the mobs fall, they'll actually be killed, and I'll get whatever items they have inside of them. So, say you're not really looking for experience, you could just use this to get items all day long. I tend to not use this feature whenever I'm grinding, because I tend to want the experience anyway, and you get experience and items this way. Once again, just to repeat, as long as you, the player, kill the entity with the last hit, that's how you get experience. So when they're just falling down and you didn't actually hurt them when they fall, you don't get experience from that. So that is a sort of drop method of hurting the mobs. Now, how do we get these mobs? Well, there's a few ways to do it. This is a spawner, and these naturally occur in the game. You can find them either in abandoned mine shafts for the cave spiders. You can find them in the green mossy cobblestone cubes that have these guys in them. So how this is working is if I am within 16 blocks of this spawner, it is activated. That's represented by this pane of glass here. So if I'm far enough away, you can see really detailed far away over there that this thing is not lit up and it's not spinning. But when I step up to this glass pane, it starts to light up and spin. And then the spawner can drop whatever it's spawning. Now, how far can these spawn? Well, that is represented by the wool. It will spawn 5 blocks away from from the spawner and 3 blocks tall. So that's what is represented here. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the limit that this spawner will output whatever mobs it can make. There's only a few spawners in game, so you can't say spawn something like an ocelot. There are naturally occurring spawners for zombies, cave spiders, skeletons, that sort of thing. But let's say you really want to build a grinder, but you don't want to go find a spawner and then build around it. Well, that is what this method is right here. This is using darkness to... What is... Anyway. This uses darkness to spawn mobs. And you can see them down here. They're all trying to kill me. This is just a method for spawning them, and then you would do something like the drop method or some other, like a lava hurt method, to get these guys damaged and in some sort of useful fashion. So that's why they're just kind of sitting here in a reservoir. This isn't really that useful. Like, if I was to try to smack at that creeper, he'd just blow up before I could hurt him. But let me show you how this works. Let me actually... Oops. I need to turn on... I forget that when I have chat off, I can't do... There we are. Now let me show off how this works. Inside of here, there are a few layers of levels where things can spawn. Let me actually go down. This grinder has a cool feature in that it can be lit from the inside to sort of turn off mob spawning. So each of these platforms is where a mob would spawn, and then hopefully they will fall off into the water, and the water will bring them to the center where they will fall. These half slabs are put here so that spiders will not spawn, because spiders take up a 2-block by 2-block area, and they won't fit through this single block hole. The cool thing about this is that you can layer these up. So I have 3 layers of this. Hey, bats, how's it going? My bats. And you could keep going if you wanted. To make sure that the mobs don't fall and then just immediately take damage, I have put these vines here and then a button below it so that the vines don't continue to grow. But these vines are to slow the fall, and then they'll just fall into this reservoir. And then hopefully they'd be taken in some other direction, some other place. So that is how this sort of black box spawner works. And you can use this just by creating a black area, but I like this way. It's efficient. It uses up less... water source blocks than other designs. So if we jump back in here, I believe that there's just a water source block in every corner. So there's one there, there's one there, there's one there, there's one over there. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple to understand. And I like simple works for me. So that is that type of spawner. There's also, well, we'll get to even more elegant solutions for sorting these guys in a tip at the end of the show. Now, there's another way, instead of using water, to get mobs to fall where you want. And this way uses pistons and string. So you can see barely, very barely, I hope that it comes through on the video, but right here, there's string connecting between these two hooks. And when you fall into it, it activates the pistons right on top. It's almost instantaneous because there's no repeater in this system. So once you fall in, it pushes you off. Now, this system is really, really useful for creating really tall designs, and then you could either reset the fall damage or you know, whatever the heck you want to do with it. This design is what I like to do for Enderman grinders, because Endermen spawn in the end. They come right here. They get pushed off, and it's quite useful. But just another design of a way that you can push your mobs in a direction that you want. Finally, here is one of the most popular designs for a grinder scenario. Let's say that you find a spawner in the world. Let's say skeleton or whatever. This design where you have a large area for the thing to spawn. The player is within the 16 block radius of the spawner, see right here, I've stepped out of the radius. You wouldn't want to do that. The spawner is activated, and this is where the things would fall. Now let me go ahead. We've cheated a bit because it's daylight, and spawners do react to daylight. They won't spawn if something like these are skeletons. Skeletons will be killed in daylight. We have some stuff covering them so that they won't burn up. But the skeletons spawn. They fall down here. Then they travel being pushed by water flow into this area. Whenever things like these skeletons reach water, they automatically try to swim upwards. So if you use this sort of elevator situation with a sign in between or a transparent, a completely transparent block, these guys will go all the way up here, all the way up to the top. And why are they traveling upwards? So that they can fall. Then they get pushed over here, and they fall down into this area. This is where you would come over and punch these guys just a few times to get whatever thing, XP and items. From these guys. And sometimes they fall, sometimes, especially because this is an open air grinder, sometimes they take damage from the sun, and so when they fall, they completely die. This is just a really good sort of easy solution. Now, one problem with this is, as you can see, this spawner isn't activated at the moment. So I'd have to go stand closer to this spawner, or I could make this more compact by bringing this in, bringing this over, and making sure that the spawner is activated when I'm standing next to that little receptacle area. So this is kind of just a basic, generic sort of idea of what a spawner and grinder would be like. So I hope that you have learned a little bit about grinders, and I have a special treat for you guys. I have a few things to show off. First is that these are like mini tips. These are, I used to do tips at the end of the show. These are like a mini version of that, especially just for grinders. This one is from Casper MC on YouTube. He put together kind of a nice little diagram of how to make a really, really good spawner. So you can see, the differences in between the blocks, where it will spawn, where the player needs to be in order to be within the 16 block radius of the spawner, that sort of thing. Oh, you know what? I completely forgot to mention something. Anyway, we'll get to this and then I'll mention that other tip. It's a really, really nice resource to sort of show off. Like in this scenario, it's much more compact. You're within the 16 block radius, and you're going to use up, it looks like, one bucket of water and that sort of thing. This will be in the show notes at omgcraft.com/29. If you want to check that out, please do. And so let me get back to the thing that I forgot to mention. The dark room spawner, the spawner that that had the half slabs and the water flow into the middle that was sort of tall, that spawner, you need to be 32 blocks away from it for mobs to spawn. If you're standing right next to it, mobs are not going to spawn because of how mobs naturally spawn in Minecraft. They're not going to spawn right next to you in game. You have to be far away from that. So the way to do that is stand within 32 blocks, but don't stand right next to it. Otherwise, your mobs will never spawn because Minecraft isn't going to just spawn a creeper right behind you. That is what I meant to mention. Next, I wanted to show off this really, really, really awesome universal grinder. Some of the cool, cool stuff that this one does is it actually sorts out mobs into their respective areas. So you can see that there's skeletons, there's zombies, and what it does is it uses things like zombies are attracted to villagers, and so they will move towards the villagers. Creepers are scared of cats, so they'll move away. You know, skeletons just don't, you know, give a crap. And then you can do even more things like, staff only, decide to have these guys go to the Nether, and in the Nether, they will automatically, so here, let me do that with the, with this and with this. And in the Nether, using the portals, they will sit right next to each other, and you can harvest your discs. So now over here, you're going to get your skeletons, and over here, you will get your creepers. So let me go ahead and show off how this works. One of the things that I just love about it is it just looks awesome. I mean, grinders have traditionally just not looked that amazing. But these guys are just, people who made this, just freaking amazing looking. So see how, here's the villager, here's the cat that will help move these grinded objects, these guys away and into their prospective areas. Anyway, this is probably my favorite grinder. It is Tandy is the person on the Planet Minecraft who made this. And I just think it looks really, really nice. Really, really good on you. Finally, this was the grinder that really, really, really made me appreciate grinders. This is from, Doc M. He made this, and it with some help. He mentions help in the video, but this is my favorite Enderman grinder, and this is actually what I use in the mc.twit.tv server. This grinder has all sorts of stuff. Not only does it have features like only Enderman grinding and Enderpearl grinding, which is what you're seeing right here, but you can turn that on and off by doing the one block high thing. It's covered in water so that Endermen don't accidentally teleport into your area. Let me go off and also just show off just how freaking cool this thing looks. Here it is in the end. It uses the piston and string method of pushing the Enderman off of the edge of a block into a fall damage situation, and God, it is just so cool. This is really what. And he used snow so that the Enderman won't pick up snow. If you didn't know, Endermen don't pick up snow blocks. And it's just really, really, really cool. And in this video, which we will have in the show notes, he goes through how to make it, all of the features. He talks about absolutely everything. It's a 41-minute long video about this Enderman grinder. Also, Endermen give off some of the highest XP per kill. So it's really, 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 really nice to grind Enderman when you're trying to get XP. In this video, this was back when you could, your 50 levels or 60 levels was the top level. Now it's only 30. And so you can get up to 30 levels in about a minute using this grinder. Anyway, really, 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 really awesome grinder. And I really, really, I hope you check it out. So, thank you so much for watching this episode of OMG Craft. I hope that you liked it. If you want links to any of the stuff that we talked about in this episode, head on over to our show notes at omgcraft.com/29. If you didn't know, the episode number is 29. It's really easy to find any of our episode show notes by just putting the episode number right at the end of our URL. You can also go to omgcraft.com to watch all of our episodes way back to episode one. If you have something that you want to send me personally, and let me either answer it on the show or just via email, you can send your email to mail@omgcraft.com. We can also take videos if you go ahead and upload that video to your favorite video provider like Vimeo or YouTube, and then send that video on over to me just as a link. Please don't upload your videos as an email attachment. That would be useful, and you'd get to see your face on this show. Also, there is a little bit of changes coming up here in the future. Starting in April, on April 2nd, will be our first absolutely new show with a new format and a new company that will help us manage OMG Craft. So, head on over to omgcraft.com/changes, and you can see a little bit of a write-up of everything that we are doing. I'm really, really, really excited. I think that this format change is going to really, really help the show. And you guys get two videos a week instead of just one, as well as these monthly courses that are just really, really, really going to knock your socks off. So head on over to omgcraft.com/changes to check that out, and to look for all of that happening starting in April. That does it for this episode. Thank you so much for hanging around with me. We will see you guys on another episode of OMG Craft.